I'm Alex Smith. Welcome to Warning with Radio EcoShock. Why did Earth get hotter faster in the last few years? Why is Earth retaining more solar energy? World-renowned climate scientist James Hansen pointed to ship exhaust particles changing the clouds. Not everyone agrees. PhD student Chan Yong Park and Professor Brian Soden investigated. They found negligible contribution from aerosols to recent trends in Earth's energy imbalance. That was published in Science Advances November 28, 2025. Co-author Brian Soden is with the Rosenstiel School of Marine, Atmospheric, and Earth Science at the University of Miami. From Miami, Brian Soden, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex.
What is Earth energy imbalance, and why do we need to know about it?
So the Earth's energy imbalance is a measure of how much more energy is coming into the planet versus what is leaving the planet. And as the Earth is currently absorbing more energy than it's losing to space, and as it does so, that causes the Earth to warm up. And we've noticed that this imbalance between the energy coming in and the energy going out has been increasing over time. And that is raising concerns about the potential rate of future warming.
A NASA chart of Earth's energy balance year by year shows a lot of variation. For example, it looks like the planet's energy was completely balanced in 2010. So what is the trend?
Well, the trend is for more incoming energy from the sun versus the amount of infrared or terrestrial emission that's going to space.
I thought that it was going up over a couple of decades and so that it's always up there, but it seems like it goes up and down quite a bit.
Sure, there is year-to-year variations in this because there's just natural variability, say, in the amount of cloud cover or the amount of energy that's emitted out to space, and the cloud cover affects both the amount of energy absorbed from the sun and the amount of energy that's emitted back out to space. So we do see natural changes from year to year. But two points to make. One is that there's more energy coming in than going out, and that's a reflection of the impact that increasing greenhouse gases have had on the climate. That if there's more energy going in than going out, then that's causing the climate to warm. But more concerning is that the rate of this heat uptake, this net heat uptake, is increasing over time, and that will accelerate the rate of warming.
Okay, now we know the atmosphere is not just air. It's full of all sorts of dirty things, countless tiny particles floating along. We call them aerosols. They can be natural or they can be created by humans. Your study finds aerosols affect clouds in two different ways, one direct and the other indirect. Why don't we begin with direct? How does incoming sunlight and lowering the energy imbalance and cooling the surface, how does that work?
As you stated, these tiny, tiny solid or liquid particles that float around in the atmosphere, we refer to as aerosols, and they have both natural and anthropogenic sources. And what the vast majority of these do is they tend to scatter and reflect sunlight back to space. So that reduces the amount of incoming sunlight that reaches the surface, and that has a cooling effect. One of the things that we've seen is over the past few decades, the amount of aerosols or pollution, if you want to call it that, from man-made sources like the burning of fossil fuels has declined from the U.S. and Western Europe over the last couple of decades. And that led to concern that this reduced concentration of aerosols might be unintentionally contributing to the growing energy imbalance and therefore contributing to an increase in the rate of warming.
So in 2023, a Dutch researcher, Leon Simons, became co-author of a big paper by Dr. James Hansen. And that paper cited new regulations limiting sulfur in ship exhaust, leading to fewer clouds in the Pacific shipping lanes, enough to reveal more heating since 2020, they say. So did your research find reduction in clouds and ship emissions as a major factor changing energy in the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, we looked at all aerosols, not just those from ship emissions, but all sources of anthropogenic aerosols as well as natural aerosols. So in the Northern Hemisphere, we do see a decline in sulfate aerosols, which is the primary anthropogenic aerosol, over the last two decades or so. But that's been balanced by an increase in natural emissions of aerosols in the southern hemisphere that's been largely driven by some very extreme wildfires in Australia, as well as the eruption of the Hunga Tunga volcano. So what you see is a decline in aerosols over the northern hemisphere that's entirely offset by an increase in natural aerosols in the southern hemisphere. And so globally, the net result of that is that there's been very little change in the global concentration of aerosols.
And you found even indirect changes to Earth's reflection due to the massive wildfires in Australia changing sea life. Could you tell us about that?
The main focus of this paper was looking at how aerosols, in addition to reflecting sunlight directly, they also act as condensation nuclei, or you can think of them as cloud seeds, which are tiny little particles that help cloud droplets form. And as you increase the concentration of aerosols, that tends to make clouds brighter and cover a larger area, and vice versa. If you decrease aerosols, that tends to make clouds less bright and cover smaller areas. So, you know, one of the real concerns in these changes in aerosols is not so much their direct effect on the reflection of sunlight, but what we call an indirect effect, which is their influence on making clouds brighter or more extensive. And so we used a special data set that we had developed that kind of isolates this aerosol influence on clouds to look at how the changes in aerosol concentration were affecting the brightness and the amount of sunlight that these clouds reflect. And similar to the changes in the direct effect of aerosols, we see that this indirect effect, or the effect of aerosols on cloud reflectance, you see that becoming darker in the northern hemisphere due to the decline in aerosols, some anthropogenic emissions. But that is almost entirely offset by an increase in cloud reflectance from the increase in natural aerosols in the southern hemisphere.
So is it fair to say your research reduces or even negates the argument that ship regulations led to an imbalance in Earth's energy flows?
Yeah, we don't find any evidence to suggest that the energy imbalance is being driven by these ship emissions. In fact, we find quite the opposite, that it's not just the decline in ship emissions, but also the longer-term decline in the use of coal and other fossil fuels that also introduce aerosols into the atmosphere, that neither of those are really contributing in a significant way to the changes in the Earth's energy imbalance we've seen over the last two decades.
Well, we all like a simple solution, and if it isn't shipping changes, I look to find final answers to this change in Earth's energy balance in your paper, but that's not what you set out to do, was it?
We wanted to investigate. I mean, we would have been more than happy to have a final explanation for what is causing this increasing heat uptake, but what we came out with is that kind of what is the leading candidate that's been suggested so far doesn't seem to be it, which is aerosols. So if it's not aerosols, what is driving this trend in Earth's energy imbalance is still an open question. It could be the response of clouds to surface warming, and that's concerning because that would suggest a kind of very high climate sensitivity and very large amount of warming in response to increases in CO2. Alternatively, it could also be that our understanding of natural variability in the Earth's energy imbalance, which we get from looking at climate models, that may simply underestimate the magnitude of internal variability, natural variability, and these ups and down wiggles that you were commenting on. So, you know, another explanation could be that this trend is also part of natural variability.
And you suggest a couple of other, I won't say suspects, but contributors to this. And one is the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which is a large ocean atmospheric pattern out in the Pacific. But the other one is a little more technical and harder to grasp. You talk about shortwave sunlight and longwave radiation and the feedback in the clouds in the shortwave. That's a little hard for us to grasp, but could you introduce us to what shortwave feedback in clouds is?
Sure, yeah, that was... So you can understand climate feedback processes. Probably the simplest example of that is to think of snow and ice cover. So snow and ice cover obviously reflect a lot of sunlight back to space. And when you warm the climate, you're going to melt things that are frozen. So you're going to have less snow and ice cover. This will allow more solar, or what we call shortwave radiation, to be absorbed at the surface. And if you absorb more of that shortwave radiation, that warms the planet further, and that leads to more snow and ice melt, which leads to more absorption of solar or shortwave radiation. So that's an example of a feedback loop where the energy flow is being influenced by the change in temperature at the surface. And so similar to how ice and snow can respond to a warming climate, you can also get changes in clouds that are directly due to a change in surface temperature. And so we call those feedback processes. And as I mentioned earlier, clouds can affect the flow of energy both in the solar or shortwave part of the spectrum as well as in the infrared or what we call the longwave part of the spectrum. So there are these surface temperature driven responses of clouds that can also modulate the incoming solar radiation or the outgoing infrared radiation. So that would be one other potential explanation for this, but I think that would be the most concerning of all the potential explanations, because that would suggest that we have a stronger positive feedback from clouds than what most studies would think is likely, and that would mean more warming.
Well, this question is literally still up in the air. A 2023 study by Raumann and colleagues found satellite records suggested, quote, clouds did not further cool nor heat the planet over the last two decades, end quote. So despite all we've heard, we still don't know whether clouds amplify or dampen global warming, really. Are we back to zero on this controversy?
No, I don't think so. I'm not familiar with that study per se, so I can't really comment on it. But there's been a number of studies that have shown that this change in Earth's energy imbalance is being driven primarily by changes in clouds. So I think there's a, you know, decent consensus around that point.
Do you think cloud science will get much clearer in the next few years?
I certainly hope so. I know this is obviously a very important topic, and there's a lot of very smart people working on it. It will be important to understand what's driving this change, no question.
And what are you working on next, Brian?
We're continuing to work on this area, and by we, I mean largely my students like Chin-Young Park and other students I have in my group. You know, there's one other possible explanation. We didn't really discuss it in the paper, is that this hemispheric asymmetry between having increasing aerosols in one hemisphere and decreasing aerosols in another hemisphere, that asymmetry between the hemispheres can cause significant changes in the large-scale atmospheric circulation. So something we call the intertropical convergence zone, which is this narrow band of rainfall that tends to lie near the equator, its north and south location is very sensitive to this hemispheric gradient in aerosol concentration. And so one possible explanation that we're looking at is that this hemispheric asymmetry in the aerosol trends between decreasing northern hemisphere and increasing southern hemisphere aerosols can affect the circulation and through that also affect cloud cover. And that might be kind of a very circuitous way in which these aerosol trends could be even more indirectly altering cloud cover and perhaps a possible mechanism to change the energy imbalance.
Well, that has a big bearing on geoengineering proposals, too. I mean, there have been suggestions to just spray sulfur particles up around the Arctic, trying to save the Arctic ecosystem. But if there's an imbalance between the hemispheres and that makes changes, it looks like we need to know a lot more.
Yeah, and I think this is pretty well understood. We've known this for some time that, you know, these hemispheric changes in aerosol concentrations are strong regulators of things like the intertropical convergence zone and so forth. And so many geoengineering studies, which not the ones that you're referring to, they're just focused on the Arctic, but ones that are more global in scope, actually part of the strategy there is to manage this hemispheric contrast, not just the total concentration of aerosols, but what the hemispheric contrast in aerosols are in order to mitigate any, say, changes in the rain belt.
From Miami, we've been speaking with Professor Brian Soden. He is co-author of a surprising paper published November 28th, Negligible Contribution from Aerosols to Recent Trends in Earth's Energy Imbalance. Brian, thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.